Welcome to Tiger Bites, the Tiger Tactics podcast, where we ask 10 questions of leading attorneys in the United States about what drives their firm forward. Today, your host is Billy Tarasio.
Hi, and welcome to Tiger Bites. This is Billy Tarasio, and today I am joined by one of my very favorite people, Mr. Attorney Henry Alzate.
Hi, Billy. How are you?
I'm so good. How are you?
I'm super.
Thank you for being here today.
Thank you.
So Henry has recently come to join my firm. I say recently because he's been practicing a long time. He owned his own firm for a long time, was in business with his father-in-law for his career. And then when his father-in-law retired, you were on your own, right?
That's right. And I was lonely.
You were lonely.
Yes.
You did not like being on your own.
No.
So you've read Tiger Tactics, correct?
I have.
Yeah. And so I really wanted to get your perspective on the book and on the differences between running your own firm and the challenges that you had running your own firm and the difference in what it feels like being a part of a firm where you have more resources and more people around you.
Hey, well, first of all, I really like the cover of the book.
Oh, fantastic.
even when I was looking at it, I thought this cover should be used for other books. It's a terrific cover. And the book is so substantive, it's so juicy that it almost should be read several times. There is so much information in it. And it reminded me also of my own struggles as a practitioner, because I started right out of law school. I went on my own. And one of the privileges I had was to have a mentor. Mm-hmm. It's very important to have a mentor. And that was one of the things that several of the authors mentioned. They would mm-hmm. say something like, I learned this mm-hmm. from so and so. It's as much an education as much as a learning process from other people.
So can I ask, what were the things that you learned from your mentor that impacted you most?
The first thing I learned from my mentor that impacted me tremendously was the personal connection to the client, not just in the sense of, you know, you're here with me, I hear you, but understanding that the responsibility on the attorney is very heavy. Mm-hmm. So not just the glamorous part of it, you know, I represent people, I get paid for it, mm-hmm. but this notion of I suffer for them as well. Yeah. I become, and this used to happen to my father-in-law a lot, that he would wake up, you know, late at night mm-hmm. and he would be thinking of a client. Mm-hmm. So his commitment mm-hmm. almost to the death, yeah. right, for the client, that yeah. was very big for me. Mm-hmm. And it's not something that necessarily comes naturally. It's something that I learned from him, a commitment to a stranger. The part that we struggled with, he and I, was the marketing mm-hmm. of our skills. Mm-hmm. We had fantastic skills. We represented people well. But the component of marketing and the business part of it, mm-hmm. that was something that we always struggle with, because when you're doing all of it, your day can become, you're running around right. trying to cover these different areas mm-hmm. and it can be exhausting and it can be frustrating.
I'm going to take one moment for our sponsors and then I want to get into your personal story and background because it is amazing. With that, one word from our sponsors. The Tiger Tactics team has a heavy presence at one of the best legal marketing and firm building conferences in the country, Max LawCon. I personally attended Max LawCon just several weeks ago and it was absolutely fantastic. Just a great group of people and I think it's worth everyone going. Next year's conference is expected to be even bigger and better. Get more information about MaxLawCon 2020 by going to MaximumLawyer.com. If your law firm feels out of control or you don't know how to achieve growth and predictability, you need to know about Modern Law Practice. Modern Law Practice is designed to optimize law firms with coaching and implementation of best practices for everything from technology to data to financial modeling, culture, management, and more. Don't wait for your firm to start bringing you prosperity and peace. Contact www.modernlawpractice.com today. And finally, if you want to build your brand and get your firm noticed in the community, social media marketing can be your tool to dominate your local market. But too many lawyers and agencies treat social media marketing like just another place to spend money. That's just wrong. At FirmFlex, we can show you the way to build your brand the right way on social media. Want to grow your brand on social media the right way? Get FirmFlex.com. And so, Henry, I would love to hear a little bit more. So you said earlier that it wasn't necessarily natural for you to dive into your client's story and into their suffering. And I think that we would be remiss not to talk to the audience about your story and your suffering and your background. So would you mind sharing a little with us?
I would not mind. It's hard to pick a spot where to begin because, you know, it's an emotional story, I guess is what I'm trying to say. I grew up in the countryside in Colombia, back in the, in a place called Antioquia. The closest big city is called Medellin. People sometimes are familiar in the United States with it through the workings of a famous person from that area known as Pablo Escobar, who was a drug trafficker. So, and probably one of the most famous and infamous ones. So I'm often asked, you know, about Pablo Escobar when I tell people that I am from that area. So we grew up very poor, and I don't mean that solely in a material sense. We had a poverty of hope, a poverty of ideas, a poverty of desire, and a poverty of exploration. Mm-hmm. All of these things lawyers need.
Yeah.
Now, at the time, when I'm a kid, I don't know that I want to be a lawyer, but I know that I want to be involved. I always want to be in the middle. The adults are talking about village problems, how we're going to build this bridge, how we're going to plan these plans. And even as a kid, I wanted to be in the middle of the conversation, and I wanted to contribute. I feel like I had something. I had ideas. And so eventually, growing up also in this kind of an environment, we had a lot of problems with my parents. My father was very violent in beating me and the other children with whips, you know, like cattle whips. When we had electricity, because at first we didn't have electricity. Later, when we had electricity, he would use the electrical cord to beat me up. I still have scars on my legs from the beatings. But this made me the person that I am today. So I do not reject that. I do not hate it. I embrace it. I reflect upon it tremendously. It is a part of me. It is me. I am that person, but I am not a victim. I am a warrior.
Mm.
And I will tell you something that I don't tell a lot of people, and it might sound ridiculous. At about age 9, because after every beating, I would be numb. My body would become numb, and I would be covered in pee.
Mm.
I began to pray.
Mm.
I began to pray, and the specific prayer was for wings. May I grow wings, and may those wings allow me to move my legs. So at age 9, I began this plan to run away to an unknown world. I didn't know at the time where I was going to run away to. I just knew that if I would run away, I would be liberated.
Yeah.
And that those wings would liberate me. Well, after about 4 years of that prayer, one day, one Saturday afternoon that I will never forget, as my father was lifting the electrical cord into the air to deliver the first blow. And he would deliver those blows with full force. There wasn't like any holding back or anything like that. It was with the fullest strength. After every beating, he would be exhausted. He actually had to take a nap after one of those beatings. He would be at the point of collapse. So at that moment, when the whip is coming down, that electrical cord is zooming through the air, something, an energy that I describe as an invasion of my body by light, like an atomic explosion of light, made my legs run. And I took off through the coffee plantation, running through the trees. I could feel the branches whipping against my arms with such a speed. And he's behind me.
He was chasing you?
He was chasing me. And when I reached the barbed wire fence, which was about 6 feet tall, I flew over it. I did not stop. I landed on the other side.
No scratches.
I flew over it, landed on the other side. He stopped at it because it was 6 feet tall. He stopped at it and started the process of getting through it. That gave me time to flee.
And that's how you...
That is the beginning of my liberation. And that is the beginning of a lot of self-discovery and, you know, a big part of who I am today.
And eventually, I mean, it's only a 15-minute podcast, and your story could be a 20-hour
I'm trying to write a book about it. One of my goals is to write a book. So that's something I would like to do. But
making your amazing story succinct, you then made your way up north, eventually to Canada.
I crossed 13 countries, and not surprisingly, none of them was welcoming or said, you know, here is a visa for your safe passage. And that taught me another lesson, which is the tendency of humanity to say no.
Yeah.
To reject without even thinking. It's a kind of an automatic, but I discovered that along the way, and I learned to accept it and to work with it. So yes, eventually I crossed, it took about 4 months on foot from Colombia through Central America, Mexico, the United States, all the way up to Canada, where I entered through the border and was arrested and went through the process of immigration. And that process is called asylum. Yeah. I sought a political asylum in Canada because, I don't know if you are aware, but we were up until about 2005, we were in a civil war in Colombia for the past 50, 60 years. Prior to that, and my area was a very violent area as well. So I not only was fleeing from family violence, I was fleeing from the violence of the guerrilla, the army, the paramilitaries, all the armed groups. But bringing it to relevance to the practice of law, you know, it gives me a lot of insight into human nature. And also into some of the challenges that our clients face with domestic violence, because it is something that is difficult to understand, and not everyone has sympathy for somebody who comes and tells you, you know, I have been a victim of domestic violence, and often the first reaction is, why did you put up with this? Why did you do this for 20 years? And often the answer is, you are frozen, like I was. You are numb, like I was. You are unable to activate your legs, like I was. And so for some of us, it happened after 4 years. For some women, and most of them are women, it took 20, 30 years to finally get their legs moving and away from their abusive partner.
Henry, thank you so much for your time today. I appreciate you so much as a gift to the profession and as a gift to my law firm. And thank you for sharing your story.
Thank you for allowing me to talk about it.
We'll talk to you soon.
You bet.
Thanks for listening to Tiger Bites, the Tiger Tactics podcast. If you have read Tiger Tactics and want to be a guest, please visit Amazon.com to leave a review or go to TigerTacticsBook.com to join our mailing list.